Blog Talk Radio.
God, it's great to be a cowboy, isn't it? It's how we do stuff. Just a cowboy. We're trying to do something. Be a leader. Time to lead the football team. It's time. It's your time.
It's our time right now.
Season. This is week two of the NFL season. I'm Espo. That's AJ on the other line.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, man. Well, we are back and better than ever. We are going to talk about some important stuff. Thursday night football game, which was crazy. We're going to talk about some of the Sunday night football game that went on last week. We're going to hit on a couple of big points here, big matchups. We're also going to have a very important guest. He's the creator of Paranoid Fan. If you haven't heard about this app or haven't downloaded it yet, go ahead and go download it. This is a phenomenal app, and it's solved a big problem for sports fans, wanting to know where to go to watch the game, where to hang out with like fans, teams, you know, fans that you're the same team of, that you cheer for. So you don't, you know, this way you don't have to get into disagreements with another team. You can be around guys that you know, root for the same cause. So he'll be on at 10:30. His name is Hunter Swenson. He created Paranoid Fan. So we'll have him on, and then we'll talk some fantasy. We'll talk about the weekly matchups. We'll wrap it up, and we'll be back into football right away. We have – first thing we want to talk about is that Thursday night football game, AJ. We were watching, and to me, in the first half, Denver was outplayed for – what is it, 30 minutes? So 28 minutes of that first half, Denver was outplayed by Kansas City. And then they scored two quick touchdowns before the half and was back in the game. Then the second half, they were outplayed for 29 minutes or 30 seconds and got two touchdowns late to win the game. What happened? Did the Chiefs collapse? Did the Broncos just get lucky? And what do you think happened?
Yeah, I mean, KC just cost themselves too many turnovers. They had, you know, four turnovers in the game between Charles and Alex Smith. And Charles, I mean, really cost them some key points in the beginning of the game when he fumbled on the 10-yard line. And at the end of the game, that interception by Alex Smith definitely turned the entire game around.
Wow, okay, yeah. I mean, I was watching it, and I'm like, okay, what is going on? And Peyton Manning looked terrible. He didn't look good at all. And then I'm watching, and I'm like, okay, he's going to tie this game up because it's Peyton Manning. That's what he does. He does fourth-quarter comebacks. And they tied it, and I'm like, okay, well, Kansas City's got the ball with a chance to, you know, there's still some time left, and they give it to Jamaal Charles, which is the smart move. You've got to run the ball. Run the ball. And what happens is they run the ball, and he fumbles, and then Denver picks it up and walks into the end zone. And everybody's looking for, like, he was down, or it was a legit fumble, and they lost the game on plays that they shouldn't have lost.
Yep. Mental mistakes, I mean, that's going to kill you, especially in a division matchup at home. It's when you have to win. You've outplayed Denver majority of the game.
They outplayed them. They should be 2-0, and Denver should be 1. Denver should be 0-2. Realistically, let's be honest. Denver's 2-0, but they can very easily be 0-2.
Yeah, I was speaking with someone about this the other day, and they mentioned that, you know, obviously it's only technically week two right now, but Denver is probably going to be the ugliest 2-0 team in the league because, you know, they haven't looked great. They don't look like they're dominating games. They, you know, they've made a lot of mistakes that should have cost them games, but their opponents have not capitalized on their mistakes. I mean, Peyton doesn't look
right.
Like Peyton. Their defense has been strong, let me tell you that. Their defense is definitely going to hold them up in games, but I think their running game needs to get going. C.J. Anderson looks awful. Tillman's he's not going to be a featured back, so they're going to have to get the ground game going. Kubiak is known for his running game, so I'm surprised that it's struggling as much as it is right now. And their offensive line is rough. I mean, they brought in Mathis, but really they have four new starters, five if you count Vasquez sliding from right tackle to right guard on that line. So I think they're going to have to solidify that line, get the ground game going to help Peyton out.
Yeah, they are. Because their defense is really good. And I tell you, DeMarcus Ware needed Wade Phillips back, because when he had his best seasons in Dallas, as we know, he was the coach. Wade Phillips was the coach, and he allowed him to do what he needed to do. But I did notice a lot of the times, yeah, he can get to the quarterback, and yeah, he can create havoc. But a lot of the times, all you have to do is run a draw, right, to where DeMarcus Ware was supposed to be, and that hole is vacated because he doesn't know how to pass rush on pass downs and not pass rush on run downs. I've seen like three or four times in this season already with DeMarcus Ware where he was basically crashing the quarterback, and the running back goes right by him, 5-yard pickup.
Yeah.
Because he's not at the defensive end. He's not holding the edge. He's giving the running back an open hole, and that's a problem. I know he wants to rush the quarterback, and sacks are glamorous, and, you know, they have the big stats, but in all honesty, it's just, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Ware he's never known for his tackling ability on running plays. That's why he wasn't as successful in a 4-3 that he was in a 3-4. As a 3-4 linebacker, your main job is to blitz off the edge, and they put his hand on the ground, and he just goes after the quarterback. But he definitely struggles when it comes to play recognition, and he definitely, you can see it on the field that, you know, his main job is to go get the quarterback. And on a running play, he tends to over-pursue and leave his side of the field open. So on counter plays or on end rounds, you'll notice he typically gets beat because he over-pursues a lot.
Right, and that's not good. And, I mean, Von Miller's been playing really well. So I know DeMarcus told Von when they hired Wade Phillips that he's gonna play a lot better because he thinks that, you know, Von Miller – will be better off with Wade Phillips as a coach. And Wade Phillips is a good, decent coach. Don't get me wrong. It's just that there's no urgency to stop the run. It's more of a let's get the pass rush, let's get the quarterback,
right,
let's not worry about the run. And it's not going to always work for you. But you're right. If everybody who's 1-0 today wins today, this team will be the ugliest 2-0 team. They will be the weakest of the 2-0s. Even if the
right.
Titans manage to beat the Browns today, I would still put the Titans ahead of the Broncos. They thoroughly kicked Tampa Bay's backside on week one, and if they win week two, they'll still be 2-0, and I feel more confident in Tennessee than I would in Denver. And that's terrible because you got a quarterback in Peyton Manning who's one of the all-time greats. We shouldn't be doubting him, but it looks like it's time to say he's past his prime.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, everybody knows Peyton with the neck surgeries, and this is it. He's going to give it one more shot. Hope he can win his Super Bowl and go out on top, which would be amazing. And yeah, I'm honestly rooting for him. I rooted for him 2 years back when he was playing Seattle. I wanted to see him win because I honestly thought he would have went out on top. But, you know, the Denver's defense is good enough to keep them in any game that they play, but they are going to need more from their running, like I mentioned, and Peyton Manning is going to have to play better. And they're not going to go anywhere without the offensive help.
Right, and hopefully we get to see that because, you know, like you said, I would like to see them on top. You know, at least let them have a winning season when you left. You know, but that brings us to quarterback play on Sunday night in the Sunday night football game. We were already on the air, so we didn't get to cover this. We had found out, we didn't know why, but we're watching the game. The Giants have the ball first and goal inside the 3-yard line against the Cowboys. And we watch the run, and he doesn't get in. We're like, okay. Watch the run again, he doesn't get in. And then we get to the third down call, which was a play action, which I don't have a problem with the play action pass. I have a problem with if you're going to kick the field goal on fourth down anyway, why throw it out of the back of the end zone? Just take the sack, let 40 seconds run off the clock, kick the field goal. You're still up 6. Now we get the ball 1:10, no timeouts, as opposed to 1.5 or even less than that, maybe 50 seconds, with no timeouts from the 20 and having to score a touchdown. Instead, you give Romo the ball, 1:30, no timeouts, and let him go down the field. And here's the other thing. there's rumors, and I think it's been confirmed by Eli and it's been confirmed by Rashad Jennings, that he was told to not score on those plays. This is the NFL. This is not Pee Wee football. When you have an opportunity to step on someone's throat, you do it. In a rivalry game, in a division game, in their stadium, you score the touchdown and you take your chances. I don't understand the logic behind that. If Romo had done that, if Romo had pulled what Eli Manning pulled, the media would be all over Romo about how he chokes, how he can't win big games, how he can't do this, how he can't do that. Why is that? That we give, especially after Eli just signed an $84 million extension, why are we giving Eli a pass on this? Why are we not roasting Eli for this decision?
Yeah, I mean, to touch on a few things there, and Eli gets, I'll start with the pass portion of it. Eli gets a pass typically from fans because he has won two Super Bowls. Granted, you know, we all agree, and I think most Giants fans agree too, that the defense was the majority factor in that. But at the end of the day, Eli has won. You know, he has two rings to his name. He's done his job. When he has a defense, he can control games, but they're expecting him to put the game on his back and go down the field, score touchdowns. It just doesn't work like that. He made a terrible decision by telling Jennings not to score because that means you put the game – it's two scores, and there's less than a minute left, no timeouts. I mean, game's over. By telling him
right.
not to score, I understand what he was saying. You know, he wants to eat the clock, kick the field goal, make Dallas go to the field. But I think Eli – and I think he's going to agree on this. He cost himself the game. He cost his team the game by telling Jennings not to score. And then at the end there, I mean, like you said, you roll out. If it's not there, you slide, kill the 40 seconds, kick the field goal. You pretty much take 40 seconds away from Dallas by him throwing the ball away. You've cost yourself – I mean, at the time, you didn't know the game, but either way, you have
right.
to take those 40 seconds. Those are key 40 seconds in the game. You have to take that away from Dallas. And he just
right.
made a terrible decision, and I think he just – I think he wasn't thinking. He really did.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. That's the thing. No one knows what he was thinking. But, I mean, it just you run the 40 seconds and you give Dallas 50 seconds to make a play with no timeouts and you have to go 80 yards to tie the game because we all know it's going to be a touchback. Nobody's going to be dumb enough to return the kick unless there's a seam gigantically. You know, it's going to be in the back of the end zone. So they're going to have to go 80 yards in 50 seconds with no timeouts. It's not the high probability of that was not good. But by him doing that, he left a minute and a half. Romo looked comfortable. Romo didn't look like anything could bother him. He was moving down that field. Like, he cut through the Giants defense like there was no tomorrow. Like a warm knife through butter. Literally shredded that defense apart in a minute and a half and made it look like he was doing it blindfolded.
Right.
There was no pressure. Right. There was no pressure from the defensive line. There was no, you know, the receivers weren't doing their, I mean, the DBs weren't doing their job on the receivers. It was, honestly, it was one of the best, and I think Adam, one of our friends Adam, texted us and said, that was a masterful drive by Tony Romo. And it was. There's no other way to describe what he did with a minute 30 left with the game on the line other than masterful. And he's done it 25 times prior since 2006. Leads the NFL in that. And yet, all we talk about with Romo, can't win the big one, and he can't be clutch, and he can't do this, but yet he continues to do it. He has,
yeah.
I mean, he just gets the bad rap. I understand the playoff fumble, the non-wins in the playoff. I understand all that. But that's not who Romo is.
Right. I think until he wins a game, a meaningful game, and he has to come from behind, he's going to continue to carry that rap. And, you know, is it deserving? Probably not, because like you mentioned, he does lead the league in fourth quarter comebacks. He has the highest fourth quarter passer rating of all time. Those things are not something that a regular quarterback's going to do. You know, he stays calm in the clutch, but unfortunately, you're going to always remember him throwing the interception versus the Redskins to lose the win in your end game. He's going to remember the fumble in the playoffs as his first year as a starting quarterback. And
right.
to go back to that, this isn't because I'm a Dallas fan, but the next year the rules did change as far as the kicking ball was no longer as slick. You know, and
right.
listen, he probably was nervous and he made a terrible mistake, but until he wins a playoff game where he does that or he wins a Super Bowl, he's going to continue to carry that rap because right now that's just his reputation. His reputation is he can do it when, in the regular season, but when it comes time to, you know, win it in the clutch, he's not there.
Well, and that's another thing you want to bring up. Let's say the Cowboys looked like a team that was destined to win the Super Bowl last year. They had everything working for them. They were looking like they were going to beat the Packers. Of course, we know what happened with that play. But the Cowboys looked like they were going to be a team to win it. And guess what everybody's saying? Romo's success was because of DeMarco Murray. not because of Romo. It was because of Murray. That's what they were saying. If he won the Super Bowl that year, I have a feeling people were going to say he only won the Super Bowl because of DeMarco Murray. And now look at DeMarco Murray. What did he do in his first game with Philly? Eight carries, 9 yards. So who was really the help behind that? I don't believe it was Murray. I think it was the Cowboys' offensive line and Romo playing to his best ability.
Yeah, I mean, you give a quarterback like Romo, any quarterback that's top 10 in the league, you give him an offensive line where he could sit there 3-4 seconds and make his reads, they're going to pick people apart, and that's exactly what Dallas did. I mean, they took a guy that on any other team right now with an offensive line that's struggling, he's going to be like Peyton, where he's going to be hurt, he's going to be out, and you want to keep this guy upright, regardless of a running game. If you give him time to sit back there and dissect the defense and make the reads he wants and decide at the line, okay, I want to audible because I know I'm going to have time to sit back and take a 7-step drop and throw the ball, he can do that. It's definitely going to hurt him now with Dez reportedly out 10 to 12 weeks. But honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I think Romo does a good job of spreading the ball around. I think they're going to get more to the running game now. And at the same time, I think Jason Witten's going to be a huge player. And if you're a fantasy player in fantasy, and Terrence Williams will do a nice job stepping up. They're going to need Beasley more, you know, underneath. But I think Devin Street or even Bryce Butler is going to have to do something now to step their game up.
So, but yeah, I mean, that was a, you know, that was a big game last week. So, and then you looked at Rex Ryan's Bills up against Indianapolis, and they dominated them, and now they get to see the Patriots. Now, we know from being secondary Jet fans that Rex Ryan hates the Patriots. So what is his goal today? What is he growing up that will give the Patriots fits today? What has he got going on that is going to create a massive headache for the Patriots?
Well, I mean, look what he did with the Jets. You know, he's consistently creating a pass rush nightmare for the New England O-line. He had good corners when they were actually relevant, you know, Revis and Cromartie, which happen to be back now in New York. But in Buffalo, he has Gilmore, he has Williams, he's got a good secondary. And it's an underrated thing, and not many people talk about Buffalo, but since 2013, they lead the league in interceptions with 44 and sacks at 113. So you look at that number, and you can imagine what Rex Ryan is going to do with this defense to New England that he didn't have in New York with no pass rush. And I think New England's in for a nightmare tonight. I think Brady's going to struggle mightily. I think the running game is going to be non-existent with getting Darius back for his one-game suspension. As you remember, last week they didn't even have their best defensive player in Marcell Darius.
Right.
So I think New England's going to struggle a lot today. And I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game, in my opinion. I actually like Buffalo to win this one.
All right. We'll get more into that as, you know, when we do the matchups. Also, we have Packers-Seahawks, rematch of the NFC Championship game. And we, of course, let's back up even before that. This is also the rematch of the Fail Mary. We had that first, when the replacement refs gave the touchdown when it was an interception and the Seahawks won. That was the start of when the Seahawks actually were put the league on notice that they were here to play. You know, that was the first season when, if you remember, the replacement refs, they ran the table that year and went to the Super Bowl. Believe it.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly,
I like Seattle today. Green Bay lost their starting middle linebacker in Sam Barrington, which isn't a huge blow, but it definitely hurts. I think that creates a bigger hole for Marshawn Lynch. I think Seattle's going to do a good job of the running lanes, and they're going to – I mean, look what Forte did to Green Bay last week. I think Lynch is going to go off today. Seattle's going to control the clock. Green Bay's going to be behind early, and I think that Seattle's just going to do a good job of staying ahead, controlling the clock, and keeping Rodgers off the field, which is all they're going to have to do.
Yeah, and I mean, we're looking at with basically – No Jordy for the rest of the year. Is Cobb going to be the answer? Is Cobb going to be the one who gets the Packers offense? And yes, last week it was James Jones.
Yeah. I mean, I think Rodgers is good enough to make really anybody relevant. You look at James Jones, you get cut from Oakland. It's hard to bounce back from. Then you get cut from the Giants. You go to Green Bay and you put up 2 touchdowns in week one. So Rodgers is familiar with Jones. They've played together for a while. I think Jones is going to be perfectly fit. He'll fit in perfectly there. Cobb, I'm not expecting him to increase anything from last year. I think he'll have a very similar year as last year once he gets healthy. I don't think because Jordy's out, Cobb's going to see an increase in targets, an increase in yards, touchdowns, anything like that, because Rodgers does a great job spreading the ball around. So I look for his tight end to be more involved now, Richard Rodgers. And like I said, I do like James Jones to continue his – I mean, he did lead the league in touchdowns when he was with Rodgers. So he's a guy that's a very sneaky play in fantasy formats, and he does a good job of taking a little bit of pressure off of the shoes of Jordy.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I think the line is even on this game. And I think the only reason that we would say even is because one of the teams is home field advantage. So we've got that to look forward to. In week two, we're going to see the start of Johnny Football. We're going to see Mariota, who carries in his perfect QBR from last week. I think did he have a perfect QBR, 158.3? Yep. Yeah. So we're going to see Johnny Football, Mariota, famous James. What are we expecting out of these three for this week? And honestly, is Mariota finally going to put some doubters to rest? Because here's the situation. He didn't throw many interceptions in college.
He's a very accurate thrower. He makes all the throws. He does the right thing. He's smart with the football. That's the big difference between him and Winston. The difference that set them apart, that the reason I believe that Winston was taken ahead of Mariota, is because when you're down, I feel like I'd want the ball in Winston's hands because he has that knack to make the comebacks like he's shown at Florida State multiple times last year. I feel like Tampa Bay realized that they're not a team yet. They have receivers around them, and Evans and Jackson and even Safarian and Jenkins. But until Winston has an offensive line, he's going to struggle. He's going to be under pressure. They have the worst offensive line in the league. There's no time for him to sit back there and make his reads and, you know, really dissect the defense. And his running game's been, you know, Martin, I think, will have a better year this year. But, again, that line is going to struggle. I think that's the difference between Tennessee and Tampa. Tennessee has a good line. They drafted an offensive lineman, you know, two first-round offensive linemen in the past 4 years, and Lamont and Warmack. They do a good job of, you know, mix-matching the running game. They don't have any standout guys in Sankey or even West now, and, you know, Cops are it. But I think Tennessee is at a point where they need a quarterback that's going to control the clock, which Winston is more of a gunslinger, and Mariota is more about control the clock, let my defense play. And then talking about Manziel, you know, I like him. I think, I don't know, for the quarterback, I like him this week for fantasy purposes, only because he's only going to be in Tennessee's defense. But, I mean, Manziel is a guy to me that he's just going to continue to put up those types of numbers like he did last week. He won't wow you. He'll make mistakes. He'll change games when he needs to. But, I mean, Manziel's a guy that, fantasy-wise, I like him. NFL-wise, I don't. So, you know, this week I think I'll have a good game, but I wouldn't count on him week-to-week.
Right. Right. And, I mean, what I think we need in order for Manziel to be successful in the NFL, he's going to need a running game, and he's going to need to be able to move the pocket because that's what he did great at Texas A&M. And right. Honestly, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think we see great things from him. I think that he panics with the ball. I think that he's still I think he needs three more years at least. And I don't think he's going to get 3 years to do this because he was so – this is a guy who would have been successful, I think, if he was drafted in the third or fourth round as opposed to a first-round pick. Because
right.
All the hype that came with him, they don't have time to wait three years for him. But he's 3 or 4 years away from being a top-tier quarterback. But nobody's going to give him the chance to develop because all they want to do is put him in the game because that's what the fans want. It's the sexy pick from the fans. The fans want that. Let's get them in and let's get them on, you know, get him on the field.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is for me, Manziel, from college to the NFL, it's just like Robert Griffin. You know, in Baylor, he was great. You know, he put up some ridiculous passes his first year in the NFL. He was amazing. You know, that read option offense was perfect for him. You can't take a guy like Manziel or like Robert Griffin, put them in a pro-style offense and expect them to succeed right away. These guys aren't understanding the route tree. They don't understand progression reads. They don't understand checkdowns. They don't understand these things because they weren't asked to do them. Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan did an amazing job with Griffin his first year and put an offense on the field that suits what Griffin was good at. That's tell him where the throw is going to be, give him a second option, hand it off, pull it back, use your feet, make the throw. That's all he had to do, and he did a very good job of controlling the game. Manziel is very similar, and he needs an offense that he can have two reads, not have to sit back, read a defense, understand what coverage they're in. You know, they're expecting this guy to do more than he's capable of doing right now. He needs time to learn, just like Bryce Petty with the Jets. I think if they're smart, they let him learn an offense. They let a Fitzpatrick teach him a pro-style offense, because at Baylor, just like Robert Griffin, he did not do that. So they need to understand, the route trees, the progression reads, the defensive coverages that they don't understand in college, that now they're going to be asked to do so. So I think you got to give these guys 2-3 years to develop, learn what they're supposed to do, and then they're ready. Manziel's being thrown in too early. Griffin's being thrown in after the first year when they abandoned the pro-style offense. I think that's the main issue with these guys. They're never going to succeed until they have an offense around them that is similar to what they're used to, or that they learn the offense that they're running.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I think we have a caller who wants to talk in on us. Let me get him on the line. Give me a second.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Oh, it's Dwayne. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, what's going on? Boy, did I blow that call last week, taking Cleveland over the Jets? That was horrible.
Your upset pick of the week failed.
That was horrible.
Mission incomplete.
Oh, my God. But
I'll let you redeem yourself this week. Who do you like this week?
Yeah, we'll let you redeem yourself, bro.
There's not too many upsets going to be this
week.
There is an
upset. There's one at 4:30 today. There's an upset going to happen at 4:30 today.
That's my Dallas and Philly, of course.
Nah, well, you know what? I think I know you two are going to have my head for this, but I think Philly beats Dallas this week.
I'm not disagreeing with you, because one of the teams can't start 0-2.
Yeah, I know, and you know Kelly's not going to want to go down 0-2 in that division, because then he's looking up at Dallas like, I'm 0-2 and Dallas is 2-0. I'm like, you know. I don't think Kelly wants to go down 0-2. And you know what? They really played bad last week, Philadelphia. They came on in the second half,
When you turn a whole team around in the offensive side of the ball, they need time to be, you know, they need that continuity, and they don't have that right now. They don't have the continuity to play together. That's where the issue is. And it may take them a while to get used to playing with each other. They traded everybody. They had receivers that were gone. They had quarterbacks that were gone, running back that's gone, and the entire offense is new. It's like playing all over again, brand new. So, I mean, I don't, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Division game for division games are tough. Road division games are tough, and Dallas and Philly is always tough. So, go ahead.
But then you got Giants taking on Atlanta. I like the Giants to win this game today over Atlanta. And the simple reason is the same thing. The Giants can't go down 0-2. I mean, they lost a heartbreak last week. I mean, I don't know, understand why you're not running the ball in the end zone. Why are you telling your running back not to go into the end zone? It doesn't make sense. It's retarded.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense to us either. I mean, it didn't really – like, now we found out that Eli told them don't score, but – if I'm the running back, I'm scoring.
Now, whose call is that? I don't think that's Eli's call. I think that's coming from upstairs.
No. Eli told him not to score. The play was called from upstairs, but Eli told him because he wanted to run the clock out. And I think he forgot how many timeouts Dallas had. Maybe that's the only excuse I can give him. He may have thought that Dallas only had one timeout, which means run, and then go for it on fourth down, and you can run out most of the clock, giving the ball back. But then when he realized they had two timeouts, he was already up, you know, to use that terminology, up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
Yeah, this is the NFL. Any chance you have to score, you got to score.
You bury him, especially a rivalry game. You got
to
bury him.
Yeah, you have to.
I mean, to me, the odds are well in your favor. If you score there, two-touchdown game, even if it's a minute and 30 left, two touchdowns, and with no timeouts, you have to bank on Dallas scoring not once, getting an onside kick, but scoring twice, as opposed to keeping the field goal, being up less than a touchdown, so all they have to do is score one touchdown. No onside kick, no second touchdown. It's just idiotic. I don't care what you're thinking there, clock, no clock, you score. Two touchdowns is two touchdowns.
Well, you're right. And Football Fire said that there was a 5% chance with 8 minutes to go in the game. There was a 5% chance that Dallas won that game. With 8 minutes to go in the game, 5% chance. And because of that, that's Eli Manning gave them the 95% chance to win the game.
Yep.
But now, so who you think, now, who you thinking is your upset pick there, Dwayne?
I'll give you a few to choose from. Let me give you a few to choose from. Hold on. So here's what we got. You like Tampa versus New Orleans. New Orleans is a 10-point favorite at home. Who do you like in that game?
That's going to be tough to me. I mean, Tampa Bay just has not proven itself. Their offensive line is horrible. Mike Evans is he going to play today or he's still questionable?
He's going to be playing. He's saying he's playing.
He's going to play today, but like I said, they're playing in New Orleans. I can't take that game. Yeah, I like New Orleans. I mean, Tampa's just – they haven't proved nothing. They're horrible. They're just leaving – you know, they're starting where they left off last year. That I mean – You got to give Winston more time, you know. If you don't, I mean, he's just gonna run the ball constantly. I mean, what are you gonna do? You got to be able to stay in the pocket, make your reads, and throw the ball. If you don't have time, he's gonna be. I mean, what are you gonna do?
Right. Who do you have?
I got to take New Orleans.
San Fran on the road at Pittsburgh. Who do you like? San Fran on the road at Pittsburgh.
Now you know what. I like San Francisco. Carlos Hyde is a beast. I mean, not because I have him as my fantasy football running back, which is great.
Oh, God.
That was a great pickup for me. Don't say, oh, God, Mike. That was a great pickup for me. You know it. Come on,
You're
Mike.
You're going to go 1-1 after this week when you lose to me this week.
Okay, that's good. Well, yeah, that's great. I don't care. 1-1 is better than 0-2, right?
Yep.
Okay. You know what, that's another – I think I'd like San Francisco over Pittsburgh. Even though Pittsburgh can't go 0-2, they're another one in a bad position to go 0-2. But, you know, you're going to have to find a way to stop Carlos Hyde because, you know, Pittsburgh held their opponents just to, like, 80-something yards, yards per a game last year. And that's impressive. You know, that's pretty impressive. But I think Carlos Hyde has, like, over 100 yards this week against them.
So your upset pick is San Fran over Pittsburgh. We'll see if you're right next week.
What's the other one? What's the other game? You got three games.
The Jets at New England. Jets at Indy, Monday night. Jets are a touchdown underdog.
Are you joking? Come on, I'll take the San Francisco over Pittsburgh. Are you joking?
There you go.
Indianapolis?
There you go.
Indianapolis is no way going to lose that game against the Jets. They're another one that can't go down 0-2. They got embarrassed in Buffalo. Buffalo embarrassed them last week. Come on.
All right. You're right.
You think Luck is going to go down 0-2? No.
You never know.
No.
You
never know.
You know, it's football. It's any given Sunday, it's football. You never know.
Yeah. And we'll be hearing from you next week, right? We're going to hear from you next week.
You're going to hear from me next week, but I got to take San Francisco over Pittsburgh just because the Jets, you know, that's a Monday night game. They're playing in Indy, right? They're playing in Indianapolis?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a Monday night game. I don't know. I don't think Luck is going to go down 0-2. Because then,
Sounds good.
I like San Francisco because everyone's doubting them this year, you know. Everyone's saying, a horrible team. Yeah, on paper, they are a horrible team. They lost everybody. They have no one. Right. They're the laughing stock of the NFC, you know. They are, but look what they did last week. I mean, they played pretty well last week, so let's see what they do this week. If they beat Pittsburgh, you know, it's going to put a lot of people, you know.
So
all right guys.
Man,
have a good day.
Talk to you next week.
All right, good luck, Mike.
All right.
You'll probably whoop me, but I'm still going to give you a run.
Whatever.
All right, bye.
Later. All right. So now we have our special guest. You know, it's been a longstanding problem that sports fans are disconnected from social activities and venue staples on game day. This guy created an app called the Paranoid Fan. His name is Hunter Swenson. He is very, very apparently this is a phenomenal app. I have it downloaded. I've used it already. It allows you to identify fellow fans, find watch parties, tailgating, make new friends, and also, you know, go to like a different event at parking lots, you know, where you're hanging out. It's a crowdsourced, data map populated, up to the minute updates. You basically can do whatever you need to do when you're looking for a place to party or watch the game. So I want to welcome on Hunter Swenson, creator of Paranoid Fan. Welcome to the show, man.
Mike, thank you so much for having me on. With the description you just gave of the app, I can't believe you haven't downloaded it, because you just about nailed everything on the head.
No, I got it downloaded, man. I love it.
Oh, perfect. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're really excited, man. We think we've got something here that could really change the way that people go about their game day experience, and whether it's going to the game and being at the venue on site, or just looking for social activities like watch parties. We think this is going to really get people locked in, and you know, just to kind of give you guys the backstory on all this, because I think every good product solves a problem that a lot of people face. And we went out to the World Cup last summer in Brazil, and while we were there, we had an impossible time finding where USA fans were getting together to watch the game. Where was everybody partying after the game? Where was the taxi line so we could get out of the venue, which could just be mad chaos? And then where could we buy a jersey? Where's the best place to grab food? You know, these were things that we tried using Google, we tried using Twitter, we tried using Facebook. We just couldn't find any of those answers. So that was kind of the aha moment for us, was in the streets of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil last summer. And when we got home, we had already had a Paranoid Fan was at first, it was a news aggregator for the desktop, right? And so everything kind of started around 2010, 2011. But recently, in the past 2-3 years, the onset of mobile has just completely taken over. So it was kind of like a perfect timing where, you know, we had a good product with Paranoid Fan, which was, like I said, originally a news aggregator. But with everything going towards mobile, we knew that we needed to make the switch as well and optimize a product that was best used for mobile. And that's sort of where we came up with the idea for not necessarily building a social network for sports fans, you know, just creating another Facebook that's catered to sports, but instead a social utility where when people are on the go, they're mobile, and they're looking for things to do or particular interests tied to sports, which I think everybody knows it's probably, the greatest common bond of all. And you mentioned making new friends. I think that's going to be one of the coolest things, is how many conversations we can take offline, you know, because there's always great conversations going on Twitter, but those never really – turn over into a tangible real life experience in a lot of cases. So I think that's one of the things we're most excited about, is this is kind of like the app to use to get you to where you want to go or to get you to where you want to see, and then you put it away, right? And you enjoy more of the game. That's the plan.
Right. And again, so you know, with most of the situations, especially when people go, sometimes people just go two people to a game. And it's you and your buddy, or you and your friend, or you and your brother, you know, and you don't know who's hanging out with, you know, who's at the game, who's, you don't know, if, especially if, you know, I live in New York, and being a Cowboys fan, I go to the Giants games, and I don't want to go hang out with Giants fans, because it's going to cause friction. So I'm looking
for walking to the Giants bar.
Right, exactly. I don't want to go to that and be that guy. So this is a perfect app for, you're on the road, you're a team that's not from the local area, and you want to find like people that you can root for the team that you want to root for and not worry about being around the other team. You know, this is a perfect app.
Yeah, so one, and you bring up a really good usage point that we think is going to be pretty prominent is, you know, take a group of, you know, 2 or 3 guys, and it's not a very big group. You know, maybe you couldn't get all 6, 10 of your buddies to buy tickets to a game. Sure, why not? So you got 2 or 3 of your buddies. And then whether you're home, and as you mentioned, away makes a lot of sense, but especially if you're away, to get on the app and maybe find another group of 2 or 3 guys. Now the experience is twice as fun, right, because you've just added twice as many people to the mix. And so to meet up with those guys before the game, kind of get like the, you know, get the juice going, and then even meet up after the game to keep the celebration going. We haven't, as sports fans, had the tools to connect in this way before. You know, granted, you may have walked into the right bar that's showing the right game, or maybe walked into a post a bar after the game that is, you know, pretty rocking. But we've never actually had You know, those are all based on kind of serendipity and random chance. Now we take the chance away from having a really fun experience, and we allow users to just put it all out there on the map and invite more of their closest friends and fans to have some fun.
Right, right. So what were some of the pitfalls that you were experiencing in creating the app?
Yeah, so there's a one of the things that we did when we created the app was we originally sought out colleges and universities to work with. We think that our app is now it's applicable. Anybody can use the app, right? But our focus in terms of usage is on that 18 to 34 demographic, because when you look at the 18 to 34 demographic, those are kind of the movers and shakers who have turned mobile phones into utilities. So we really want to cater to that audience that is using, you know, Uber, they're using Waze, Snapchat, you know, some of the common social utilities you might think of today. But one of the greatest pitfalls, I'd say, in terms of just our marketing approach, which was to work with these schools and universities, we have worked with several universities. One of our greatest partners is Rice. But there's a lot of teams out there who say, great, this app is fantastic. We love it, but we love it so much that we want it for ourselves. And so the problem with that is that the teams are expecting their fans to download, you know, their game day app, if you will. But then on the flip side, you have to account for the fact that fans are fans of more than just one team, right? For if you're in Dallas like myself, you've got Rangers, Mavs, Stars, Cowboys, Arkansas, U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. So there are all these different sports and teams and players and experiences that I follow. So to ask the fan to download one app for one team and then one app for another team, we just don't think that's very feasible in 2015 to have your phone just loaded up with 10 to 15 apps that you might use, you know,
right,
in and out of the off season. So what we wanted to do was create an open source, open platform, every team, any team, anywhere. So even if it's like cricket in Australia, you get, you know, if there's a group of fans listening in Australia that like to attend cricket watch parties and go to games, you know, the app could be used there as well. So I think that's one of the, you know, one of the challenges that we face. But at the same time, it's really opened us up and allowed us to understand what our opportunity is, right? The opportunity for disruption, I guess, in this case, in terms of kind of consolidating all those team apps and putting them into one.
Right, which is smart. That's a good idea because, you know, like you said, I'm on an iPhone, and I get constantly that I'm out of storage because I've downloaded a million apps. A lot of them are sports apps because obviously I'm a huge sports person. I love to follow sports, but I have a Dallas Cowboys app, a New York Mets app. I have this app, that app.
Right.
If everything was in one, and I can get everything I need in that one app, then I wouldn't need that. So that is a good point.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm really excited about, that's a completely new feature. We're going to update. If any of you guys listening download the app right now, it is in beta phase. But just in the next few days, I would imagine by the middle of this week, we'll have the app updated. And this is where things get really cool, because that's where we've added, you know, turn-by-turn directions, where if you spot a tailgate on the map close to you, you click, you tap that stake icon twice, and you get turn-by-turn directions to tailgates, watch parties, parking, tickets,
yes,
food,
you know,
beer. So we're, yeah, that's going to be, beforehand we had, beforehand we had it to where you could see where the tailgate was, and you could see where you were in relation to the tailgate, which I still think people will use, you know, the map itself to do that, not necessarily use turn-by-turn directions. But in the case of having that option, we have included that. And that's something we're really excited about. I think it's going to be really cool because I went to Arkansas myself, and I can't tell you how many Saturdays I spent at least 30 minutes to an hour just trying to find the darn tailgate, right? Just trying to meet up with my friends. So that's something we're excited about, is saving time. But on the flip side, something that goes kind of off the map, if you will, is our city chat, which if any of you guys have kept up with Twitter, one of the things that Twitter has been kind of knocked on recently is for not using any type of geolocation or geo-curated type of tweets. You can see what is trending in different cities, but you can't see what is being said really in those cities. And so
yeah,
we thought, what if we kind of opened up that portal to these different venues and cities, and kind of, you know, created a, a, you know, a way to kind of get a sense of the pulse, you know, feel what the pulse of the city is like. So on our newest version, you can, let's say you type in Seattle Seahawks, you can get taken up to Seattle and get a kind of like a look at what's going on and kind of get a feel like you're being there. And then if you click on the stadium, you get taken into the city chat, which compiles tweets or messages or chats into one timeline that's all based on one, geolocation, and two, that common interest, which is sports. So we're really excited about that because that's just something from you know, we're the three, myself and the two other buddies I developed this app with, we're just sports fans, really. And so this is, you know, something that we just saw that when we were on, you know, Twitter is great for sports, but, you know, unless your whole timeline is talking sports at that time, it can get a little chaotic and it can get kind of confusing. You know, on Facebook, you know, the cake Aunt Susie just baked pops up in between your Monday Night Football highlights and, you know, baby pictures and status updates. You know, not everything is always sports related. And when you're watching the game or at the game, you know, really all you want is more of the game. And that's what we think we can do is give the sports fans more of the game by, you know, keeping them locked into a channel, that city chat, that's sports specific. And not only that, but it connects you with everybody nearby. So you really get a feel of what your city is saying about your favorite team.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that makes sense. So you were talking about you developed it with two other friends, is it three friends all together?
Yeah, so
okay.
Yeah, so it was myself, Augustine Gonzalez, and Whitney Teague. Augustine and I worked together in Dallas at ESPN in the ticket for about 3 or 4 years. I was there, and I'd always stay kind of close to his project, you know, Paranoid Fan, and it got to the point where I really saw the big picture, and I you know, I really saw an opportunity to, you know, do something really big in sports, and really, you know, at the end of the day, you know, all things said and done, if this works out well, we will, you know, completely change the way that people enjoy sports. And I thought that opportunity was too great to give up. And while I really enjoyed my time over at ESPN, I just kind of get that feeling that it's time to go on to the next one. So.
Right.
I made the switch over to Paranoid Fan full time back in May, and that was when I took one of my partners who I'd worked with, Whitney Teague. She had worked at ESPN for about 3 or 4 years. So, you know, we all have a very sports centric background, and even at ESPN, having all access sometimes to the game, you still didn't really feel like you were completely connected and aware of just what was going on around you, really. All those experiences brought together with the aha moment, if you will, back in, brought us to, where we are today.
Right. Now, how did you guys come up with the funding for this? Was it GoFundMe, Kickstarter?
Yeah.
How did you guys?
Yeah. So the app is free to use. So,
right.
and one of the reasons for that is, you know, it's all crowdsourced, right? So we're asking,
right,
and we're hoping sports fans are interested in having the best possible sports experience. And part of that is just sharing what you know that's going on around you. For example, Gila Lombardi trophies, you know, available for
right,
pictures. I talked to a couple that walked by the freaking Lombardi trophy. I mean, so the app is crowdsourced. So we don't want to, on the flip side, ask users to pay for the app and then build out this incredible community. So the app is free. It'll always be free. But as far as the process of fundraising, you know, we're here in Dallas, Texas, which is really more known for oil and gas than it is technology. So we've had to make some trips out to Los Angeles. I'm actually really excited. We're going to be presenting at the Reach Next event next Thursday in Los Angeles,
right,
at the Exchange Club, which is where they filmed The Social Network. And so that's just an all-day pitch contest, 20 startups. So we're really excited to be a part of that and get a chance to go up there and pitch. So that'll be a part of, you know, the fundraising process, but bringing it back to the local scene here in Dallas. Augustine's background is as a trader at Merrill Lynch. So he's got a great financial background. The guy is just incredibly smart, and he's on top of trends. I believe it was Tesla was what he kind of banked on and did really well on. So a lot of his clients and people who he had worked with in the past that he had helped out successfully financially came back and worked with Augustine again on that. So he's he's just ultimately a great person. I think the fact that people who had worked with him in the past, you know, helped him to fund the company is a testament to how good a dude Augustine is.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, the only other thing I had a question for you about was about the Android. Android, it doesn't look like it's on Android market yet.
No, we are not on Android yet. You know, we think to get the product right on Apple is our first priority. But Android is coming very soon. We would hope that maybe by the end of October. But I'd hate to put a date on it because with with app development and technology, it's you know, 2 days can turn into 2 weeks and 2 months with when it comes to construction and development of that thing. So we're hoping here later this year we can get that out before the football season concludes. And what a great time, especially as you get into the end of the year when you've got those conference championship games and you've got both teams now maybe traveling to a neutral site to play in a big game. So that'll be really cool, I think, when you've got those neutral site games. And, you know, just in 3 weeks, we've got Texas OU coming up, which is both Texas, Austin, Texas, and Norman, Oklahoma converge on Dallas, Texas for the full weekend. And, I mean, you're talking hundreds of thousands of people coming in town for that. So that'll be really cool.
Yeah, hopefully you can get that apps out for the Android, because I know Android does have a pretty big market share for
absolutely.
So yeah. All right. Well, where's ways that people can get in touch with you to find out about the app and ways to download the app so that they can get that app as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're always listening on Twitter at Paranoid Fans. So if you guys ever have any comments, you know, we'd love to, even if it's a kind of harsh criticism, we'd love to know about, you know, what your experience is like using the app. So we're always open to feedback and comments and conversation on Twitter, and that's at Paranoid Fan. You can find me there as well at Do You Like Sports, and you can download the app. The app, as mentioned earlier, is available in the Apple Store right now, but it's our beta version. So I'd even say you're probably best to just sit tight and follow us on Twitter for the update. I'll push out an update the moment that thing goes live, which we're expecting goes live here in just a couple days.
Okay. Sounds good, man. And like I said, I've been using the beta version on Apple on the iPhone 6. I love it. I think it's a great idea. I think this is going to be a great app, and it's going to take care of a lot of issues with what we were talking about. So I think it's a great job. You got a great app there, great thing going on, and we wish you nothing but the success. What we'll do is we'll shout out your Twitter handle and your website. Do you have a website?
Yeah, paranoidfan.com.
Okay, we'll shoot that out over social media and let to our fans and let them know that this is where they can get it right now and where they can get updates is the most important thing. Not the app, because obviously you said it's beta and it's not released on Android, but the most important thing is the update. Because as soon as it gets released, I'm going to suggest to everybody I know that they download it, because it's a must-have app.
Yeah, dude. Well, I really appreciate that, man, and we're hoping that's hoping the way you feel is sort of the consensus around sports, because – you know, it's interesting because it's a completely new product, right? No one's ever really heard of social mapping or thought of using it, you know, maybe their phone in this type of way. So if more people feel like you do about it, that's only going to be better, because it's just going to make it easier for us to help grow and scale this thing. And the more people we have on the app, the more lively and thriving that ecosystem is. So I'm really excited to hear that, man. I really appreciate the kind words.
Absolutely, man. No problem. And like I said, good luck, and I'll be following you. I'll be getting you on Twitter and following up on you, all right?
Fantastic, man. I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks so much for this, Mike.
Thanks for joining us, Hunter.
Hey, see you, buddy. Have a good one.
Yeah, have a good one. All right. We had a phenomenal guest right there for his app, the Paranoid Fan app. Again, it is in beta, but go to ParanoidFan.com, check it out. See if you can go ahead and get that. And again, with the updates, he said it's going to be coming out soon. So anybody who has Android or Apple, you can go ahead and start joining on that. All right. And now we are going to go into the matchups of the week. AJ, we'll start with Texans at Panthers, game one.
I like the Texans in this game. Keekly's out. He'll miss the game, I think. I think Ryan Mallett's going to do a good job of getting the ball downfield, and I think Alfred Blue will have a very good game. I'm going to take the Texans here.
No, that's not because you just made a last-minute fantasy deal to get Alfred, right?
I mean, it doesn't, but I still love the play. I mean, I think he's going to have a very good game, and they're talking about Foster coming back next week or possibly the week after, but I think this is the game that Houston's going to win. They're going to control the clock, and they're going to run the ball effectively.
Okay. And I actually think the Texans win. I think DeAndre Hopkins is – it doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. It seems like he's just a phenomenal athlete. He got another 2 touchdowns last week. So I think that the Texans will win this game. What about Niners at Steelers?
I'm actually going to go with the upset as well. I'm going to go with San Fran. And the reason behind that is Pittsburgh's actually 0-5 without Le'Veon Bell. Big Ben versus Mangini defenses in 6 games. It's had 22 sacks and 3 interceptions. So I'm going to go San Fran to pull off the upset.
I'm going to do the opposite on that one. I'm going to take the home team to not start the season 0-2, their home opener. I think D'Angelo Williams has shown that he can fill in for Le'Veon Bell, and I think that they will win this game. I think Minnesota was unready for what San Fran was going to bring them. Teddy Bridgewater was unprepared for what happened, and that's how San Fran won that game. I think that this is going to be a different week. I think Big Ben pushed the Patriots to the limit there, and I think he's going to take them out in this game. So I'll go with the Steelers. Next game is the game that everybody in any kind of survivor pool, they went with, because this seemed to be – it just seems like it's going to be a lock, that there's no way the Bucs pull this game off. It's Bucs and Saints. Our pool, we have 27 people left, 14 picked the same. So, I usually get scared when I'm with the consensus, because that's when you get the biggest upset. Is there any chance the Bucs can pull this game off today?
Yeah, there's always a chance. It's a division matchup. I'm still going with New Orleans, but only because it's their home opener. That place is electric. There's really no place like it on home openers. But, I mean, if Tampa Bay learns to, if Winston can control the turnovers, if they can, take advantage of New Orleans' weak secondary and really control a clock, keep Brees off the field, I think they have a shot. Again, I don't think they're going to win this game, but I think Tampa Bay just needs to learn how to utilize their weapons. Getting Evans back is going to help. So maybe with Evans, Jackson, Savannah, and Jenkins, Winston will have a little more options to take advantage of New Orleans, but I still think New Orleans is going to win this one. I don't think they'll cover the 10 points, though. I think it'll be a 5-point game.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, if you think about it, both rookie quarterbacks last week threw their first touchdown passes to Titans.
Yep.
So we'll just go with that. Winston's first pass was a touchdown pass to the Titans, and Mariota's was a touchdown pass to the Titans. So we'll just keep that in mind. Next game, Lions at Vikings. Lions blew a big lead late against the Chargers. Vikings looked like they were unprepared. As I said, they looked unprepared. They looked like Adrian Peterson. They didn't know what to do with him. And they Bridgewater looked like he had never read a playbook in his life, and he had never seen a blitz before. The whole game, they looked terrible and looked like San Fran knew what they were doing and Minnesota didn't. Who are you taking to this game in the battle of 0-1s?
That's a tough one for me. I actually do like Minnesota this week. I think they'll use AP a little bit more this week, and they'll control the clock, don't put as much pressure on Bridgewater to win the game. They fell down early, so that didn't help them. So Bridgewater threw a little bit more than I'm sure they wanted him to. But I do think Minnesota's going to win this game. They're actually an underrated team. I like them to actually make the playoffs, but I do think that they'll win this game, get back to 1-1, and realize that they do have AP back on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Vikings will go to 1-1, and I think the Lions will drop to 0-2. Next game, Cardinals with a surprising, well, not really a surprising win, but now they have to go on the road to Chicago. Chicago without Alshon Jeffrey. Who are you taking in this game?
Yeah, you got to go to Arizona here. No Jeffrey. Chicago is just not a great team yet. Arizona looks good. The only thing I'd be worried about now is you got Chris Johnson running the ball, so. As long as Arizona can control the clock and make sure that they, limit the turnovers, I think they should easily win this game. But Chicago will make it close. They played Green Bay pretty good last week. I just don't see them beating Arizona.
Right. And then we got Patriots and Bills, which is Rex Ryan versus Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Belichick, sorry. Who you got in that game?
I mean, my gut tells me I want to go with Buffalo. I said earlier I like Buffalo to win that game. Just a side stat, Rex Ryan is 1-8 versus the Patriots in his career, so it doesn't really bode well for him as far as the odds concerned, but I think this is a different team than they have with the Jets. I think Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback that can create nightmares for New England defenses because he can run. I do think the Bills are going to win, but it'll be a close one. Again, it's going to go either way, of course.
Right. I'll take the Bills at home. I don't think the Patriots were ready for this. Chargers at Bengals. Again, Chargers with the last late comeback against the Lions in their home opener. Keenan Allen had, 17 catches for 160 or some ungodly number?
Yeah.
He was a man on a mission. He goes against Bengals today and helmet-smashing Adam Jones. What do you think on this one?
I like San Diego this week. I didn't think since he looked too good. I mean, granted, they played Oakland last week, but I like San Diego. I think they look pretty good. They moved the ball around a lot. A lot of their receivers had a lot of catches, as you saw. But I think San Diego will win this game.
All right. I'll agree with you on that. Titans at Browns.
This one's rough. I'm actually going to go with Cleveland. I think Manziel is going to bring a different feel to the game. I think they're going to win this one. I think it'll be close, but I think Mariota comes back to earth. And Cleveland's defense is a pretty good one. So I don't think that Mariota's going to have the game he had last week versus Tampa.
Well, we'll see. That's definitely sure. I'm going to take Tennessee to go 2-0. Falcons-Giants. Who you got?
This one's a tough one for me. I mean, I like the Giants at home today. Julio Jones is banged up, so that's going to create a little bit of a disadvantage for Atlanta. The winning game is, decent. I think the Giants should have won last week. They played well. I think they'll win this one.
All right. And Rams-Redskins?
I got to go St. Louis. St. Louis beat Seattle last week. Granted, it's home, but Washington's just not a great team. I'm going to have to go see St. Louis today.
Yeah, I'm going to go with St. Louis as well. Dolphins-Jaguars?
I think everybody's going to go with the Dolphins here, even though they didn't look great last week. I think you still got to pick them because Jacksonville didn't look good either.
Well, I do think the Dolphins didn't look great last week. If it wasn't for a kick return for a touchdown, that game's still tied. I'm going to take the Jaguars in an upset. Blake Bortles.
Oh, wow.
And speaking of Blake Bortles and UCF, they lost to Furman yesterday, so I think they should just ban the program altogether. That's embarrassing. You can't lose to a school named Furman. Like, you can't. That's just – it's not normal. It's 0-3 now. It's time for George Leary to step away, I think. And off of that topic, I take Blake Bortles today to do some Bortles combat on Dolphins. Ravens, Raiders.
Yeah, Baltimore all day. That's my survivor pool pick this week. I mean, Oakland's just Oakland. Baltimore all day.
Yeah, me too. Baltimore all day. And then we move to the primetime game, which will be on Fox all day today. And we've been talking about it a little bit. Cowboys at the Eagles. A major game because the Dallas Cowboys have won already one division game. If they win this one, they'll have two division games in hand, and Philly will be sitting 0-2, two games back. If the Eagles win, the whole season changes, the complex, we're back to a square one. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, I don't like the 5-point spread. I think it'll be closer than that on both sides. But it's tough. Dallas is, they won their last 9 road games. But losing Dez Bryant, it's going to be tough. It's hard to predict that without Dez. My heart obviously wants to go with Dallas, but I think I'm actually going to go Philly at home.
You're going to take Philly at home. I'll take the Cowboys on the road. I'll take the points because I think 6.5 or 5.5 is ridiculous. But I could see us losing by a field goal or a last-minute score to give them the lead. 3 or 4 point win. So I got to stay with my boys. It's a homer pick, but, if I don't think my boys are going to win, what's the point of being a fan, right? Then you got the Sunday night game, Seahawks and Packers.
I'm going to go with Seattle.
I'm going to roll with Seattle as well. Their defense is playing a little better, but we'll see. Hopefully they can get Cam Chancellor on the field soon. Jets-Colts.
This one's rough for me. I mean, Indy cannot start 0-2, but at the same time, T.Y. Hilton's very questionable. The Jets defense is very good. I think Buffalo proved last week that Indy versus a good defense can create a lot of nightmares. Yep. I'm gonna actually go with the Jets on this one. I'm gonna pull another upset here. I'm gonna go with the Jets on the road.
I am going to go opposite of you and take the Colts. I think the Colts, for the reasons you stated, cannot go 0-2, and I think it would be the biggest shock of the season if the Colts started 0-2. So, all right. So last segment, we're going to talk about fantasy football. I'm reading that Alshon Jeffrey is going to be out today. Who do you like to pick up if somebody has Jeffrey in the starting line?
I mean, as far as pickups concerned, I don't think Terrence Williams is available anymore, but Cole Beasley is a guy to pick up. If you have a PPR league, especially if he isn't already picked up, I definitely go get him. I think he'll be utilized more in the passing offense. If Eddie Royal is for some reason there, I would go get Eddie Royal because he will step in, and him and Cutler have the chemistry that they've worked with before in Denver. So he's a guy to go get as far as receivers concerned. Some other positions I like today, I like Manziel versus Tennessee. I think he'll have a decent game. I can put up at least 15. Another one is Jason Witten. If you're not starting him, definitely start him, of course. And then Alfred Blue, like I mentioned, I traded for him earlier today. But I think he's going to have a big game, especially with Luke Kuechly out. You know, the quarterback of the defense there. I think Houston's going to control the clock today and run a lot. I think Blue will get at least 15 carries and probably a score.
Yeah. My three quarterbacks that I would definitely start today, Bradford. I'd start Bradford of the Eagles. I'd start Romo of the Cowboys. And I'd start Matt Ryan of the Falcons. Those are my three must-starts if you're, you know, debating on who, you know, outside of the elite quarterbacks that you have to start every week. If you're faced with a decision, Bradford, Romo, and Matt Ryan are my three starts today.
Here's my guys I'm going to avoid. This is more for DraftKings because you can't bench these guys in real life. Tom Brady, I would not touch him. And honestly, if I had him in fantasy, this is one guy I may consider benching if I had a decent backup. Again, Buffalo's defense, 44 interceptions, 113 sacks, leads the NFL versus any other team. LeSean McCoy is another guy at bench. His hamstring is going to tighten up. I don't know if he'll get a major workload today. And for the price he carries, he's just not worth the risk. Another guy is Julio Jones. He has a hamstring injury also versus the Giants. Giants secondary did a good job of holding Dez down last week. I would stay away from Julio this week. And the last one is just to give you a heads up, Delanie Walker is out today versus Cleveland.
No Delanie Walker, so go get yourself a backup tight end if you have Delanie Walker. Any other points you want to bring up?
Fantasy-wise, no, but I would definitely go with, if you're a DraftKings player, some sleepers at each position. Ryan Mallett at quarterback, only 5,100, again facing Carolina without Luke Kuechly. Alfred Blue is a running back, and at the same time, Darren Sproles versus Dallas. Sproles only 3,500, Blue only 37. Some receivers, Pierre Garçon, only 5,000. He's going to be the main guy with Deshaun L. Terrence Williams, 4,200. Going to be, again, probably be one of the main guys in Dallas. And my tight end sleeper pick today is going to be Ladarius Green, only 3,500.
Okay. Sounds good, bro. And, you know, anybody else that we need to? Nope, we're good. We're good to go, man. That's it. That's another show. We'll be back next week. Same time, talking about the same stuff. We'll have another guest next week. His name's Greg Wilson. He is the founder of Wrecking Ball Helmets, which we're going to learn a lot about. That's actually one of the best things I've seen, you know, out there for a product that you can get. He can custom design it to any team, or you know, not any team, but any logo, any design you want. He does them all himself. He has a bunch of them that he has already done, and he'll get all that information out to you next week. Again, we'll have a guest next week. His name is Greg Wilson. Other than that, we'll be back same time, 10 o'clock on Sunday. And that's it. AJ, you got anything else you want to add?
That's all, guys. Enjoy some football.
All right. Good luck, and enjoy some football. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.